Had the nations of the world had more love for each other, the world would not be in the state it is in at the present time. God bless you. A thought of love goes to your credit, dear lady, all the time. A frequent communicator once gave us this advice, which we can also take as comprising his religious beliefs. I have been a long time on the spirit side of life, and always try hard to cheer and comfort you before you go away. Never be ashamed to say you know there is a higher life, a God above, a Father, whatever name you may call him by, who looks after you and guides you, who expects you to do the right thing, to take the right course through life. I did not believe in it myself. You can tell my beloved when you write to her that I have found proof now, and I have come to this little gathering to talk to you and give you a little cheer and comfort. Each seance usually ended by some kind of farewell. 218 and blessing, and this is what we once heard before the voices ceased to speak. Bless these thy beloved people and grant that they may be spared to spread the knowledge of the truth of the continuity of life, and to thee be all glory now and forever, amen, and to our Father God who has allowed me to participate in the glory and the pleasure of life, in this land of spirit, realizing that earth life does not finish all, I give thee praise, O Eternal One, amen. And on another occasion, this is what was said, may the peace of the great Father God, and the blessed love and fellowship we have with one another, keep you and guard you now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. We may gather from the quotations given in this chapter that our friends on the other side become, sooner or later, enlightened Unitarians, believing in one God. They tried to follow what is called the will of God, whatever that may be, but to them, as to many on earth, this is expressed in trying to live a good unselfish righteous life. To them religion and ethics are intertwined, and, from what they tell us, we shall find when we reach the other side that as we sow here we shall reap hereafter. The basis of orthodox religion is belief. To be saved one must believe something, no matter how little evidence there is for the doctrine. Christians believe that their sins have been washed away by the death of a Savior who suffered for them. The blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin, I John 1:7. This belief is the basis of Christianity, and has been a source of comfort to millions, but it has retarded their ethical development. 219. So much so that the Christian era is classed by historians as the most degraded period in world history. To rely on a victim who suffered for our sins, and to feel sure of salvation by holding this belief had, and still has, an adverse effect on the ethical outlook of Christendom, so much so that the greatest scoundrels believed they had an equal chance of reaching heaven as had those who lived good and righteous lives. How many millions have been surprised and disappointed when they reached the other world none can say, but the sooner mankind realizes that it is what we are that counts in etheria, and not the theological beliefs we hold, the better it will be for everyone. 220. Chapter 13, Progress. By our contact with the etheric world we realize the importance our friends there attach to progress, to mental development, in fact, to the entire evolution of the individual. Moreover, we come to realize that the individual is something infinitely greater than he appears to be on earth. Opportunities that come to everyone to advance in the ethical way of life, in knowledge, and a better understanding of themselves and the universe in which they live. The handicaps of the grosser vibrations in which we live on earth are removed, the new arrivals learning how to adjust themselves to the finer conditions of their new abode, and live a life of greater intensity, of greater freedom and vitality, such as is unknown to the people of earth. Freed from the cumbersome physical body, to be able to do much as you think, to find oneself pitched to a higher key and in tune with surroundings of a color and beauty unrealized on earth, produces a state of harmony and happiness we are unable to appreciate. Always there is a goal ahead of further achievement, but let those who have experienced this wider life tell us about what to us is a wonderland far beyond human imagination. When I began my inquiries about this other world we all shall someday reach, I was anxious to know if our individuality was preserved. So I asked a friend. 221. In Etheria, to whom I was once speaking, if we always retained our individuality, and this was his reply. Think of the countryside with glens and hills. The rain falls, and gradually trickles down into small streams, which streams gather volume until they enter a brook, which brook in turn enters a river, which in turn enters a larger river and sweeps onward to the sea. Each individual can be compared to an atom in the raindrop. The atom retains form and individuality throughout the whole course, from the hill to the sea, and even in the sea it does not lose its individuality. So with us, we move onwards and onwards, always retaining our individuality until we merge into the sea of full understanding, when we become part of the divinity. On another occasion, someone amongst the sitters mentioned about the improved way an Etherian had just spoken to us, and how much easier it now was to understand what he said. As it turned out, this remark was well chosen, as he came back and made this further interesting statement. You know it is the march of evolution, and such a wonderful evolution for me to get away from the cares and troubles of the world, for, when you feast your eyes on the spirit land beauties, earth fades into insignificance, except for the loved ones left behind. There is nothing to fear. The only thing I would advise you to do is to prune your earth plumage by good deeds and actions in a quiet unassuming way. You will find that not one of these little actions will be forgotten on this side, gems for your raiment, diamonds for your home. Everyone is reaping the labor of love which he has sown on. 222. Earth life helping others, it will all go to your heritage in the land of spirit. Another old friend and frequent communicator said this on another occasion, when speaking on what he called the everlasting progress of the human soul. His preliminary statement is given elsewhere, but this is how he ended his remarks. I am perhaps a little further advanced than some of you, but I have still a long, long way to go, and I hope to be able to do something to help you forward on that beautiful journey, on the road that leads upwards and onwards towards the great and eternal one. After a mother in Etheria had spoken to her daughter in the circle, we sat for a few minutes awaiting the next voice to speak to us. Then, out of the silence, a clear manly voice remarked, I am just an Indian speaking. I am not like my friend Whitefee there. I have not got the tuition but I have learned, by mixing with the people who come from higher spheres, something of those advanced spheres where they live. You know, my friends, in the spirit world, space is beyond expression. We cannot measure it or limit it, and beyond in space are worlds beyond worlds, all peopled by those who have advanced far beyond us. And we on this side are only on the fringe of that journey towards those spheres where they dwell, gorgeous in their light, their beauty and their love, so that I must fail in my description of them. On another occasion Whitefeather spoke himself. When Sloane was in trance, Whitefeather was his principal control. However, all the communications recorded in this book, except one, were given by 223. Etherians who used their own voices by materializing their vocal organs as already explained, and it was in this way that Whitefeather spoke these words, when concluding a talk he had with the lady whose name he mentions. I have learned a little and I pay tribute most heartily to your beloved son, Mrs. Lang, who educated me to the language which I now speak, and in the tone in which I now speak, but I am still Whitefeather, the old Whitefeather in heart. Only I have gained a little further knowledge and have progressed a little in the life on our side. God bless you, says Whitefee there. Here we may have an answer to a problem about which I have often pondered. What has happened to the multitude of beings who have occupied this earth since the time of primitive man? We have discovered something about those who have lived and died within our times, and who were like ourselves. But these are a minute fraction of those who have lived on earth as men, women and children. Going back the 50,000 years since the time of Subman, millions and millions of backward primitive people have passed on into the other world, and must occupy some place in what we term space. If we progress after death, they likewise will have done so, and are still doing so. Life and mental development seem to be closely linked, and if Y2F there, who on Earth was by our standard a simple ignorant red Indian, can reach the stage he has now attained, why not everyone? Why not the primitive black races, the cannibals, the savages, the Australian Aborigines? In fact, why should the law of progression favor only the advanced races of mankind? 224. I remember Y2F there in 1918. He knew only a few words of English and was simple and childlike, as he doubtless was on Earth, yet, as children do, he has grown up to be a man of intelligence and culture, if we judge by what he says. Education, and the right environment on Earth, can work wonders on all mankind, the color of the skin having nothing to do with the potential power of the mind to develop. This being so, no limit can be placed on the range of the mind and, as an African Negro can be educated on Earth to become a university professor, so, by education, the most backward of mankind can develop and progress both here on Earth and hereafter in Etheria. As mind can develop here, so it can continue to develop there. Now we shall proceed and hear more of what they have to say about their progress onwards to a larger, wider life. After giving a description of the beauties of the plane on which he lives, a friend of one of the sitters said something which shows how death does not all at once change the individual's character or mental development. We are the same individuals just after death as we were before it, it being only the bodily covering which has changed. This is what he said. Yes, friends, I am still far from where you are spiritually. I had many stumbles on my way through life, and I fully confessed my faults when I came here to the great ones above me, and have been placed in a condition which was much better than I deserved. I am now humbly striving by the little I can do to help, to make up for the faults and failings of earth life, and I get beautiful friends who come to give me. 225. Advice, to teach me, and lead me on the way to a higher sphere. Meantime I am quite content to do my little best here for the boys who are coming over. I saw the lights, and knew I was in, or near, the earth plane, and thought I might bring you a little comfort. Another who was known to some of those present in the circle once made a similar confession. There are few who go through the world straight, and many of the straight-laced ones, when they come to my side of life, will find that they have also left a zigzag trail behind. I walked a crooked path, but I have got behind that now, and somehow there were so many friends on this side of life whom I did not know, but who came to help me when I got here, and have helped me to get to this stage of discernment. But past mistakes can be corrected, this is what we were once told. Free will, however, obtains even on this side, and it is left to yourself whether you are willing to progress or otherwise. Without that willingness you will not progress very far. I have progressed somewhat myself, but I am a missionary, helping my brothers and sisters over the stile all I can. When an Etherian was once asked what his work was, he replied in the pure Scotch dialect which, translated into English, reads thus. When I am not required for the great elder brother's work, I come to this earth side, and try to help those of my own kind, not exactly friends, although they are all friends of mine, but if I can give anyone a helping hand over a stile, I am rewarded myself 1,000 times. 226. That is how you progress, said someone in the circle in reply, to which he answered in these words. It is the only way, but I do not want to progress very far for a bit. It is my desire to stay here because I have some friends I want to wait for. Oh, I loved them well. It is given unto us, if we do what we are told, and behave ourselves, and all work for the master and the elder brothers, to stay a little while where we are until they come. God help me, I loved them awful well. Sometimes, friends, those that are left without a father's care cannot keep straight, and I am trying to bring them back onto the right road again, those who have gone off the straight a little way. You can overdo the things of earth life, you know, at times. I think you understand what I mean, and it is so very, very easy to step aside. A Red Indian, already known to us by the name of Pathfinder, came often to the circle and could speak with ease for a quarter of an hour or more. After giving a long address, he was asked once if his interests lay solely on the earth plane, to which he replied, "No, I work on both sides on the earth plane and also on the lower planes on this side. I have progressed to a higher plane myself, but am doing this work for the master's sake. The fields are ripe for the harvest, but sometimes the reapers are few. In God's garden of life, however, there are many helpers and workers in the fields of paradise who go out to help their weaker brothers and sisters." It is one of the Indian friends speaking. "I am Pathfinder. I have found a path that led me to higher heights, more beautiful and glorious heights, my lovely home, but I thought of those left behind and 227. Prayed that I might be allowed for a little time to act as Pathfinder for my brothers and sisters who need help when they come to this side of life. On one occasion the members of the circle were discussing amongst themselves, during a silence on the other side, the ignorance and antipathy of the clergy, and of Christians in general, to the truths proclaimed by spiritualism. A gentleman present remarked that their outlook would retard their progress when they reached the other side, until they discarded their false beliefs. Then it was that an Aetherian joined in the conversation and spoke these words, 'That is very true, Mr. Cameron. It is not only our own progress on the spirit side of life that we must think of, but we come in contact with many that have not come so far as we have, and we try to help them. Then, in turn, we come into contact with those a long way ahead of us on the road of life, and the knowledge we gain we owe to them.' After a friend in Aetheria had told us once how he had endeavored to make up for his failings during his life on earth, one of us remarked that only by so doing could progress be made. To this he replied, 'It is the only way of progression. By helping others we help ourselves. There are many, many friends who are much superior to me in their spiritual outlook that I have not overtaken yet. I have seen them, and talked to them as you are talking to me now, and I am doing the best I can to make myself fit, to attune myself to their sphere. When I do so I shall be with them, and it will be a joyous day when it does come.' The subject of progress came up on another 228 occasion when we were told about passing from one plane to another. What was said is given elsewhere, but here is the place to quote the words of an Aetherian about his own personal feelings against leaving his present abode. 'What I will ultimately attain to I do not know, but I am quite content to remain where I am at present, and to progress slowly from time to time and feel the vision which is opening up to me so wonderfully. When we traverse the spaces with these brighter ones and communicate with those who have gone on, we get glimpses of the glories to come. I would not, however, be content there. I want to get back to my own associates and to the places where I am established at the present time, and wait for the loved ones who are still on your side of life.' A man who was a famous scientist on Earth, and who did much to popularize the belief in the evolution of the species, came back several times to speak to me. He always gave his name, and what he once said is suitable for inclusion in this chapter. This is how he concluded his talk: 'Evolution is still my great theme, the thing I am constantly thinking about. Evolution is the key to the universe. Evolution never ends. We are always progressing, progressing, but we retain our individuality. It helps to explain the mystery of existence.' He has now realized the mistake he made when on earth of denouncing spiritualism, and here I take the opportunity, now that this book is drawing to a close, of asking this question: can any sensible person?" 229. assert that all the 419 quotations given on its pages were spoken by someone living on Earth, in the room where the seances were held? If neither the medium, nor one or more of the people present, produced the voices, who did? Whence did all we have read come? The circle was a small one, some 8 or 9 people on an average, and no one could speak without it being noticed, and yet for over 40 years no one ever hinted that the medium, or anybody else, was pretending to speak as somebody other than himself or herself. There could be no gadget, contrivance or device to produce the voices from elsewhere by an accomplice. No one, for instance, could produce the voices through a hole in the wall, make them to sound in front of the sitter, and hear what the sitter said and carry on a conversation. When the seance was held in Sloane's own sitting room, it was always searched, and any such contrivance would soon have been spotted. But it must be remembered that many of his seances were held in the private houses of people where such devices could not have been installed. Moreover, a number of good evidential seances were held under my direction in the seance room of the Glasgow Society for Psychical Research, and when Sloane arrived he entered the room immediately, sat down, and was never alone until he left at the end of the seance. Sloane's conversation was slow and halting, and it showed no special knowledge of anything beyond his everyday interests, and yet hundreds of thousands of fluent words have been heard, to make up the wonderful and extraordinary communications the people present listened to all these years. As to the possibility 230 of someone in the circle impersonating different dead people, that was impossible, as the voices spoke no matter who was present. Those who made up the circle were always changing, and over 40 years the entire makeup of the circle changed very many times. The extracts given in this book cover seances held over 27 years, the first recorded being on 20th of September, 1918, and the last on 10th of July, 1945. Nevertheless, the same phenomena took place at the first as at the last. Those Etherians who spoke in 1918 had the same personalities as they had in 1945, the same facts were given about their world and how they lived, and the same elevated teaching continued all those years. The trumpet continued to race about the room in the same way and touch, but never hurt, anyone. Spotlights continued to move about the room, the consistency of everything is noteworthy, and yet the members of the circle had changed over and over again, many having passed on to become in turn the speakers from the other side. In the later years of his life, Sloane's memory was failing and he had aged, to become a lonely old man whose uppermost thoughts were the prospect of soon being taken to the other world, to be once more with his beloved wife. He suffered from rheumatism and the disabilities of old age, and yet the final sittings he gave, when he was 76 years of age, were amongst the best ever held. Nevertheless, this remarkable man always refused payment and shunned publicity to the last, passing away peacefully on 24th May, 1951, at 82 years of age, quite unaware of how much his life had meant to humanity. Now to return to the subject of this chapter, once. 231. In the course of a conversation with a friend on the other side, one of the sitters used their word evolution, which was just the word the Etherian wanted. He was so pleased, and this is what he said. Precisely, evolution, that is the correct word. They are not all at the same stage of advancement. It is just what happens all the time. We are just evolving from one stage of spiritual existence to another and become more perfect, and so more able to help others below us. At the present time I am working amongst those who are passing through war. I am often mixing with them, and telling them, directing them where they should go. The plane in which I live is a little more beautiful than theirs. I mean I should be on a more exalted plane, but I have chosen to do that work and be with them meantime. Another aspect of progress was once put to us by an Etherian in these words. It comes overwhelmingly upon us when we see intelligences so far ahead of us, and we desire to follow in the footsteps of the great master teacher. In method of progress it means assimilation of the truth which we must take unto ourselves, and that we are willing to obey the will of those above us, and follow in the higher footsteps of those advanced far beyond us. It is not a theme of a day, as you call it, a month or a year, it is of long duration before some rise to this discernment. Do you see what I mean? The urge to rise has no limitation. It remains with us, our desire to follow in the steps of the great teachers who have gone ahead. I once asked a friend who was speaking to me. 232. From Ethereum, if everyone that could make contact with this earth. To this inquiry he replied, the higher and more developed we become, the less are we in touch with your world. The more development proceeds, the less do we think of the earth. It is all a question of desire. We can come into contact with earth conditions at will. If the will for doing so is absent, then we do not return to you. In other words, the memory of our earth life gradually fades until our earth life is forgotten, and this seems to me to be an answer to those who believe in reincarnation. Once I put the straight question, do we reincarnate again on earth? To which I received this reply from the Ethereum to whom I was speaking. I have known no one who has been reincarnated on earth. I passed over many years ago, and I have round about me those who lived thousands of years ago on earth. That is all I can say, because my knowledge does not permit me to say more. Another equally unequivocal reply on the same subject was given by a different Ethereum some years later. He said, we cannot come back and go through the same again. What they talk about is progress, and never have I heard anyone on the other side speak of coming back to be born again on earth. The butterfly cannot return to enter the cocoon. Remarks like the following were quite common. I was an Indian chief in the old days. I have now been on the spirit side of life for many years, as you know time. 233. A lady present on one occasion was greeted by the man to whom she had been engaged on earth before his passing over. Like the others who spoke to us, when referring to being reunited someday with those they love on earth, the same remark was made, namely, that when they meet again there will be no more parting. This is what he said. You know what dark days are, Mary, and I know what dark days are too, but there is a glorious day to follow, which has already dawned on me, and which must dawn sometime on you also. Daybreak will shine, brightness will come, be of good cheer, darling, I will stand by you. When the long last comes, which I hope may not be for a long time yet, and that much happiness may still be your lot in the earth life, but when the time does come, dearest, then at the end of the road we shall clasp hands again. There will be no more partings, no more worry, no more care. Hand in hand, through the aeons of eternity, with spiritual love in our hearts, we will help others along and find service and joy in that work. God bless you, darling, no more just now. The same theme ran through the remarks made to a sitter by her mother in Etheria. It was the sitter's birthday, and her mother's good wishes were given in these words, to end with the daughter feeling that she had been kissed many times. It is a memorable day, Chrissy. It was a memorable day to me and to father too. I was just waiting a chance, my darling, to get in to wish you many happy returns of the day until that birthday comes when you will come over to our side of life, and you. 234. And I will be together for all eternity. I just want you to understand. Then addressing the others present in the circle, she said, what happy times Chrissy and I will have when she leaves the physical. I was not able to enter into all the enjoyments that she could enter into before I went away. I was a wee bit forgetful sometimes, but before that we were just like sisters, not like mother and daughter. After a red Indian had finished talking, a gentleman present once asked someone on the other side if it was possible to take the less developed to the higher planes. This is what he was told by the Etherian, who spoke in a loud, clear voice. We cannot take them, but we tell them what is in store for them, and that when they become more enlightened they can go there. It is not the Indian who is speaking now, but I am not speaking disparagingly in any way. Many Indians are more advanced and have brighter souls than I have. We are all brothers and sisters, and we all have a time of what one might call evening star, that time of the last final parting with the earth plane, and we say goodbye to all things earthly, so to speak.